This podcast replay is brought to you by KSDT CPA, one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
All right. There we are, our number two of the program. And we thank Siri for the love. Remember, send in your fantasy questions to our Welt and Realm text line, 855-912-1056. It's 855-912-1056, the law office that crushes the insurance companies. Let's see. The envy of the rest of the country has Miami is real. They're wearing sweaters in some places already while I watch the games on my boat on a sandbar. I have no pity for any of them. Miami always. What? No. What happened?
During the prime pregame, what's his name? The big offensive lineman, Whitworth went in the dog pound. And when he's in the dog pound, there was somebody right there with a Dolphins sweater. I mean, it had the new logo, but it was a Dolphin sweater.
Nice.
Right there in the front with the dog pound.
In the dog pound. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, listen, I've always said this. Kiss my ass. We got a great fan base. We got an awesome fan base. Awesome fan base. And they're all over the world. I know, because I deal with them all the time. And they hit me from everywhere, all over the place. We got a fantastic fan base. And they travel like crazy. I love our fan base. And once you become, I think, a Dolphin player and even a fan, and if you connect with people, you'll find out. You'll go, wow, man, I didn't realize that, you know, because I get it. We're not Green Bay. I get that. We're a different type of vibe. But that doesn't mean we don't have great fans. We have great fans, man. And they're really loyal. Let's see. Awesome morning, Big O. If our defense can slow the Buffaloes, we have an awesome chance to win. Go Tua and Dolphins. I agree. Big O, you know which uniform we are wearing Sunday? I have no idea, sir, but I would imagine you'd want to go all whites, right? At 1 o'clock, sun, I'd go all whites. That's what I'd do. I'd make Buffalo wear all dark. Make them absorb the heat. You reflect it. That's what I would do. But that's just me. All whites, baby. I can assure you Buffalo's going to be wearing the dark blues. Of course. They have to. Miami has to wear the whites. You know? Sneak over to the Big O Cuts channel. Hit the like button. Yes. Yeah. Hit the like button everywhere. Here, Cuts channel. Subscribe to the Cuts channel. Subscribe here, all of that, please. That helps us immensely. Pat in Asheville says, the last time the Finns beat the Bills, December 2nd, 2018, I was in Florida for a business meeting. This Sunday, in Florida for a business meeting. I'll be at the game this time. Finns up. So, Pat in Asheville. Okay, dude, first of all, thank you for the super chat. Okay, we love you for the super chat. Thank you. It's very nice of you. And remember, you can also make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show is our address. That's Cash Big O Show. We get the whole donation there. Well, Pat, brother, you screwed yourself. Yeah, because if you're in a business meeting and you're at the stadium and they win, and this is the last time it happened. You weren't at the stadium, but you were at a business meeting and in town, right? Or whatever, right? It was last time beat the Bills, 2018. I was in Florida for a business meeting. Okay, so, dude, you know you have to now do that every time this game rolls around. So if they win, there has to be like a GoFundMe account every year now to bring Pat in Asheville to Florida for the game. I mean, it's automatic. And by the way, Pat, when I go visit Western Carolina, maybe we'll have a beer. I want to go next summer. I want to go over to What should I call it? I should call it an expedition of Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. Yeah. Be kind of a little expedition, exploration, you know, trying to see where you can plant a flag. Mark Popleka says, Big O, it's my 32nd wedding anniversary today. We need a Dolphins win for that. Happy anniversary, my brother, 32. That is awesome, man. Proud of you. It's fantastic. And I hope they win for all of us, not just you, but every Dolphin across the world, man. Everybody needs it. Is it true that Micah Hyde is out for this game? There's a good chance that he's out. Poyer may play. The corners are out, and Micah probably is out. You may want to listen to our interview with Jay Skursky yesterday from the Buffalo News. He was really good. You may want to listen to that. And you'll be interested in his prediction, too, also. So you want to do that. Did you guys watch the Kurt Warner video? Kurt broke it down, and I love Kurt Warner because he's on with us on the Tuanon bandwagon, and he's a quarterback. And it's funny because remember we were talking about that pass last week with Poupart that it was early in the week, right? It was on Monday. Yeah, Monday when I brought him on. And we were recapping the game, and I showed him that pass that Tua made in between four people and how impressed he was with it. So Warner breaks down all of Tua's, you know, game, and he pointed out on, you know, all the things that he's doing, how he's manipulating safeties, all the kind of things that you want a franchise quarterback to do, okay? And I'm watching that tape, and it's pretty cool because obviously you're getting it from a perspective of a quarterback. And I also sent that cut to Poupart, and Poupart's like, yeah, no, I need to see the quarterback's view before I give Tua any credit for that pass. And I'm like, dude, Kurt Warner's giving him credit. It's, you know, he's a quarterback. He's done this before at this level. And he was explaining on that cut how it's actually two windows, which I didn't realize that until he broke it down, that the route had two different windows that Tyreek was going through, and you either could connect on the first one or you have to wait to connect to the second one. And it's a millisecond because, you know, as fast as Tyreek is, he's into that second window shortly, and then you have to then hit him, and he did. And again, I was super impressed with it because I thought it was a great pass, but it was actually even better after you watch Kurt Warner break it down. Then Kurt Warner, in the middle of all of that whole mess, I want you guys to watch it if you get a chance, the latest Kurt Warner video that came out with on Tua's game against the Ravens. He had a statement in there that was groundbreaking, shell-shocking, eye-opening, informative, all those kind of adjectives that you can use, and people need to use it, need to learn. He said 90% of the game is played under 30 yards, which is true, by the way. And again, Tua could throw the deep ball. That's not the problem. It's not something you're doing 30% of the time, 80% of the time, 60% of the time. It's something you're doing in the single digits. It's rare. It's not something that happens all the time. You know what I'm saying? So in your game, it may happen once or twice out of all your passes. It's a super low percentage. You know what I'm saying? And he can hit those. That's not a problem. But my point is, when he says 90% of the game is played inside the 30 yards, that's deadly. If you're facing accurate quarterbacks, it's not just a Tua thing. It's a Breeze thing. It's a Montana thing. It's an Aaron Rodgers thing. It's whoever, any quarterback that you know that is accurate, deadly. That's a killer ass number. 90% of the game is played inside 30 yards. When Kurt Warner said that, I was like, holy shit. And that's something you need to know, because we can talk about it, but then when you hear a quarterback talk about it, because he knows the stats. He plays the game. He covers the game. He talks to quarterbacks. He talks to coordinators. He stays on top of it. 90% of the game is played inside 30 yards. And you have a deadly quarterback. So for those of you that didn't see that piece on Kurt Warner breaking everything down with Tua, you should watch it. You should watch it. It's educational. It shows you the passing tree that McDaniel uses, how he spreads out guys, what responsibilities Tua has in these routes, what he is seeing, what normally happens in these kind of routes and these kind of coverages. It's just, it's so informative. It's so educational. And then at the same time, it's also really satisfactory, because you're watching Tua play some really, really good football right now. And he's scratching the surface, ladies and gentlemen. He's scratching the surface right now. That's what also people don't understand, what's going on with Tua right now. He is scratching the surface. This is a new offense to him. This is a new offensive coordinator. And they're only two games in. So you got a guy that believes in you. You got a guy that trusts you. 4th and 7, he trusts you. Down by 21, he trusts you. I mean, and if you watch the film again, you go back to what I told you before about Kurt Warner, you watch that film and you see him thread it into some difficult situations. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. But that's the thing, that Tua is now scratching the surface. When he gets to know the offense completely, when he gets to know the tendencies of Mike McDaniel, when he gets to understand all of the defenses he's facing, when he gets to know all of the defensive coordinators he's facing and their tendencies, lordy, 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 Tua will take another step forward. That's part of the growth of a quarterback. It's part of learning the game speed, adjusting to play at the game speed, then learning who you're facing week in and week out, and knowing the tendencies of the corners and the safeties you're playing, knowing the tendencies of the defensive coordinators that you're playing and facing. And as you keep facing them over and over and over again, you will undoubtedly think like them. And then as things develop in the middle of a game, it will then come to you as muscle memory, because you have faced the Bills so many times that now you know what they're going to do to you. You know how they're going to attack you. Not going to be easy, but it's nice to know what's coming. Not when you're in your first year and you're not trusted, you're not the starter, the other guy's a starter, the offensive coordinator is really comfortable with the other guy, not you. And then the second year, the guy's gone. Now you've got a jumbled mash of offensive coordinators. No, dude. Now you've got a Mike McDaniel who knows all the offensive coordinators. I mean, defensive coordinators. He knows them all. So now he'll sit there with Tua and he'll educate him. And look, he likes to do this, that. And this play, they have a tendency of doing this, that. And he's going to just educate that young man. And that's what I was telling you last year, that when you don't have an experienced offensive coordinator, one, he's not going to know himself how to set things up every week. But then how do you pass that knowledge on to your player to make them better on the field? Mike McDaniel will be able to do that. Tua is just scratching the surface. There's a lot to this game, and he's got to be fed it piecemeal, not all at once. And unfortunately, the experiences all don't come at once. So he will have to go along the way and learn, but you have to try to have success while you're learning along the way, so you can convince people that you're the guy and that you're the guy for the future. If you don't have success and you don't show growth, it becomes a problem. That's not the case for Tua. But I want you to remember, he is just scratching the surface. There's a lot of other things to learn, and he finally has the teacher. Okay? He has the Jedi Knight now that the Padawan can actually learn the right way. Okay? You know, last year, it was a Vader was trying to teach him. Yeah, you can't do that, bro. You know? Flow Sith. Yeah, that don't fly. No flow Sith. All right? Obi McDaniel Kenobi is the one that has got to teach him. Okay? Obi McDaniel Kenobi. 855-912-1056. If you want to get in on the Welt and Realm text line, that's 855-912-1056 on the Welt and Realm text line. Let me tell you a little bit about Nature B, because they've got 27 vitamins and amino acids, 28 minerals, and powerful antioxidants. I take it every single night before I go to sleep. And of course, that helps boost my immune system. Well, when I sleep overnight, it's getting into my system, boom, and it's potentiated. Which, what is that, you say? Well, what they do is they kind of crack open the cells. And that way, when you ingest it, it goes right into your system right away. It's a beautiful thing. And what I love about Nature B, compared to other vitamins or medicines or anything you take that's in a capsule, why don't you do this? Why don't you bust open that capsule and pour that powder directly into your mouth? What are you going to do? Remember that bitter beer face? That's exactly what's going to happen to you. Keystone, right? That was the name, bitter beer face? That you would have a bitter beer face with that, right? Well, Nature B, plant pollen is all natural, Mother Nature. You know, the good Lord placed us here on earth, and he also, like, created flowers and plants and trees and fruits and vegetables that you really didn't need to create anything. You know, you didn't really need to create, like, other types of foods. You just had to eat right from the soil, and you could live just fine. That's what plant pollen is, man. Straight from Mother Nature, from clean, green New Zealand. And that's why it's great for the kids. It's great for the adults. It's great for everybody because it's all natural, man. It'll boost the immune system. It'll give you the energy you need, stronger nails, fuller hair. Oh, there's so many benefits. So go to naturebee.com, use our code BIGO. You buy 2 months, you get the third month for free and free shipping. How about that? Buy 2 months, third month for free and free shipping. Use the code BIGO, naturebee.com. The Dolphins holding their own and competing with the Bills is growth. A W would be amazing, but it's about the team getting better. Amen. A freaking men. And, oh, by the way, the line went down to 5. It's going 6.5, 6, 5.5, 5. Man, I took out a 6.5 2 days ago.
I think that's showing that the Bills, the ones that are injured, probably aren't playing.
Yeah, there's money coming in on the Dolphins, dude. It's moving the line, man. And the injuries for sure. Dougie Fresh says, oh, staying with your Star Wars reference, Chris Wilkins is definitely Chewbacca ripping arms off. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. It's not smart to make the Wookiee mad, right? Or piss off the Wookiee or whatever, you know? Nobody ever worries if a droid gets mad. Well, droids don't tear people's arms out, right? Isn't that the line that Han Solo says? Point taken. R2, let the Wookiee win. Oh, yeah. I'm a Star Wars geek. This is the best chance the Finns have in beating the Bills with all those defensive players out. Amen? That's right. They got a shot. But you got to take advantage of it. Morning. Oh, what's the best Dolphins bar in Fort Lauderdale? I mean, there's a lot of great bars, man. You can go to a Sports Grill. They're in Broward. Bo Camper's in Broward. American Social is only in Dade, right? Or do they have an American Social in Broward? There is? Oh, in Las Olas? American Social is always a great bar. It's America's what? Oh, America's Backyard? No, that's on Broward Boulevard. Yeah, but that's on Broward Boulevard, not on Las Olas. Like, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's in Himmershey, isn't it? Like by Himmershey. Is that that area that's called Himmershey? Yeah. By the way, the Himmershey area, that's where you should go in Fort Lauderdale. That's a great place, Himmershey. It's got all kinds of bars and restaurants. It's got a great vibe. A lot of people hang out. So go to Fort Lauderdale and go to Himmershey's. It's right behind the Revolution Live. And that's a nice little strip area right off of Las Olas, because Las Olas is on the other side of the bridge from Himmershey, right? And I'm telling you, that's a really cool vibe to hang out. But yeah, Sports Grill, Bow Campers, all that. There's all kinds of terrific bars, man. We've got a lot of great sports bars. Hey, Quarter Deck, that's a really good place too. I mean, not, just because they're not advertising with us, I'm not going to be, you know, dissing other sports bars. You know what I mean? Duffy's, that's another one. They do a terrific job. We got a lot of good sports bars in this town. If you really think about it, there's a lot of good places to go and enjoy some sports, man. Let's see. Well, it is time. It is that time. It's that time to talk to the one and only Joe Shad. Let's see what kind of hijinks Joe Shad is involved in, because you know Joe Shad, he's always involved in all kinds of hijinks. So let's get a Miami Dolphins report with our hijinks, sportsgrill.com Miami Dolphins report.
Dolphins fans, it's time to talk to the man with incredibly high standards. It's not easy to score an A or grade 10 out of 10 with this guy. In fact, he isn't impressed with Joey Chestnut's dominance, Usain Bolt's speed, or even Evan Ginkle's locks. Will the hijinks continue? Can the Miami Dolphins do the impossible by getting a passing grade with Joe Shad? It's time for the Hijinx Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Report. This report is brought to you by Hijinx Sports Grill in Boca at 133 Southeast Meisner Boulevard. Enjoy happy hour 4 to 7 p.m. Reserve a VIP table online and receive one free sparkling wine. Follow them on Instagram at Hijinx Sports Grill. Here's Miami Dolphins insider Joe Shad.
All righty, there he is, always involved in some kind of hijinks. He is Joe Shad. Joe, how you doing, baby? How you feeling?
What's up, buddy? I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today.
Love having you, as always, my brother. And of course, we thank the great people at Hijinks Sports Grill, proud sponsors of our segment with Joe Shad. We tweeted out yesterday a picture from the lovely ladies over
and I retweeted it.
I know. I saw that. I saw it. You should.
People were confused. They said, oh, that's the Dolphins cheerleaders. That's not the waitresses. No, those are, in fact, the servers.
Exactly. Those are the servers, and they happen to also be Dolphins cheerleaders, too, at the same time. You know, it was a lot of beauty that was involved in that shot there at Hijinx Sports Grill. So
I need to get over there. I'm still trying to get a ride. I'm still waiting on Adam Beasley. If you're out there, Safed Dean, David Fronis. I know that some of those folks are at the Mike McDaniel press conference in Miami Gardens, which is about to start. But, you know, Miami Gardens is east, right? East enough. They can just jump on. You can jump on, 95 or the Turnpike or something and scoot up here.
Fronis,
pick me up.
Fronis will do it. Safed will do it. I told you already, don't count on Beasley. I told you, you cannot count on Beasley, bro. Okay, so you got to go with the other guys, or me and Sean. Of course, you can always count on us. Plus, you've got to take us to Hijinks after you've bragged so much about their wings and all that stuff. We got to go try it, bro. I mean, you know,
yeah, the sriracha wings with the onions. You got to get them.
All right, there you go. So we got to figure it out. All right. Joe, Buffalo Bills players are falling down left and right. And the line is coming down. It was started at 6.5. It's down to 5 now that Buffalo is favored. So people are starting to get on the Dolphins bandwagon right now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. The line is all over the place. Started at 4, 4.5, 5, all the way up to 6. Then after the injury news came down, it started to bump down. 5.5, you can even find 5, 4.5. So, you know, there's a lot of confusion out there in the betting world about what to do. The betting world really liked Buffalo to route the Dolphins, but these injuries are going to be a factor. Just moments ago, McDermott, the Bills coach, announcing that they will be without star safety Micah Hyde. They'll be without their third corner, Dane Jackson, and they'll be without former Dolphin defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. These are key injuries. Yeah. And also, safety Jordan Poyer is questionable. Now, you might remember the Bills in a recent game decided to shelve a lot of their players when they didn't need to necessarily beat the Dolphins, and the Dolphins still got their butts kicked. So certainly nobody is suggesting this is now a slam dunk.
No.
But these injuries have to be a factor. Mike McDaniel, very smart guy. Maybe he finds out a way to exploit a couple of rookie Bills corners and a couple of safeties who are either banged up or not quite as good as the Pro Bowlers.
It's funny because nobody talks that Miami's missing their own starting corner. Right? It's like, yeah, they're 2-0. They're just fine. You know, Byron Jones, who's that? You know, and so that's kind of, it's funny because Miami's also playing without one of their top players in their secondary, and nobody mentions that, and that is an issue for them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Buff, yeah, you're right, and it's especially an issue this week and next week. Yeah, Xavier great. Howard says he's fine despite a little bit of a groin injury. You know, he has had a little bit of a trouble chasing Stephon Diggs on the crossing routes in past matchups. Dolphins have gotten killed on that. And Nick Needham telling reporters able to attend this week in Miami Gardens that he needs to be better, that he's, you know, having a little bit of an adjustment, having focused almost exclusively on the slot, now being asked to play some more outside corner. And Gabe Davis, formerly known as Gabriel Davis, the Bills' fast receiver, he says he's returning from injury. So, you know, I think they'll be – I was wrong about the Bills the Ravens-Dolphins game. I thought it would be low scoring. It ended up high scoring. I guess that's the nature of the NFL now. And certainly we expect to see points in this game on Sunday. So maybe I'll be wrong again.
Yes, yes. Are you liking the Dolphins' chances in this one?
Well, you have to think that the Bills are still the favorite to win this particular ball game. I mean, they've dominated the series in recent years until the Dolphins show that they can slow Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and that they can perform better against a mobile quarterback than they did last week against Lamar Jackson. It's just hard to imagine how they're going to slow down the Bills' offense. So the question then becomes, all right, is this now a team that can outscore people? And, you know, certainly encouraging signs. Dolphins have all kinds of weapons on offense, and that makes things exciting. That means that you feel like, hey, you know, the Bills, I believe they've scored a touchdown on their first drive in 7 straight games. That's just a ridiculous statistic. So even if the Dolphins fall behind 7-0, 14-0, you still think they got a shot, you know, and so that's a change of pace, a nice change of pace.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. We look at the way they're going to attack Tua. Are you expecting them to try to send the house and try to disrupt him? Because to me, that's probably the only way you're going to really be able to slow that offense down. If you give Tua any time with that speed out there, I don't know how you really I just think Miami will end up finding ways to score points and get yards, a lot of yards on you. And so how do you expect them to attack Tua?
Well, this is interesting. Out of Dolphins camp, head coach Mike McDaniel saying Teron Armstead's status is, quote, up in the air. I don't think he knows yet if he will play. That is not good. You were correct. And you know what? It's hard to disagree with the notion that the Dolphins had to expect Teron Armstead was going to miss a handful of games this year. That's what has happened in recent years. So, you know, I don't like Von Miller.
You don't like
against.
You don't like
I don't like Von Miller having to go against not Teron Armstead. You know what I mean?
You're right. No, it's
so that could be a significant issue.
I can see Alec Ingold very busy on Sunday, as he's the one that's chipping on one side and helping out on the Von Miller side. So
the pendulum keeps swimming back and forth on this thing, right? You say if you're the Bills, you're thinking, all right, well, if we're without one or two corners, including our star, Tre'Davious White, by the way, no one talks about that, he's out. If you're without two corners and maybe two safeties, well, you know what? You maybe don't blitz as often, right? And then if Teron Armstead is out, well, you know what? We like our chances one-on-one. We don't need to bring extra guys. So that this could be real problematic for Tua. Gosh, I hope Armstead plays.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, obviously. But, I mean, this has kind of been the MO with him. He can't
what would you do, though?
He can never stay healthy. He's always been, you know, an injury prone guy. And this is part of the game. When you sign him, you know that he's going to end up missing a couple games because his body just doesn't hold up overall.
It's a toe. I mean, the guy played through it and played well last week. So
yeah.
McDaniel also said he wants to wait and see for Xavier's availability. I don't believe that one. I think X is playing.
Well, if he's practicing, he should be playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, if Teron is in practice.
Unless it's a setback, yeah. But McDaniel said Teron doesn't need to practice to play, and I agree with that. If he's the kind of guy at this point in his career, he can play without practicing.
Yeah. Did you watch the Kurt Warner video on Tua?
Yeah, I watched them all. I watched Kurt Warner. I watched Michael Vick. Mike did a nice job. I retweeted that one. You can find it at Shad Joe. Michael Vick demonstrated how in the Mike McDaniel offense, Tua is benefited by the Dolphins leading the NFL in pre-snap motion and movement and shifts, and how that allows him to get a good read of whether the defense is in man or zone. And both Kurt Warner and Michael Vick, and I have respect for anybody who's played quarterback in the NFL, yes, even Matt Hasselbeck and Chris Sims, they can explain things a little better than I can in terms of how Tua last week showed nice development in terms of how he used his eyes to manipulate the opposing safeties.
Yeah, but the Chris Sims one, don't lump him with those other guys. He's a clickbait artist, bro. He's not, you know, that idiot said that he can't throw deep and that he can't run a powerful offense or whatever. He's a moron, dude. Please don't.
Tua,
at least Kurt Warner breaks it down and gives you intelligence and shows you how Tua is actually playing the game the right way. And
yeah, I mean, after watching those videos, I would have to strongly disagree with what Colin Coward said earlier this week. He didn't give Tua credit.
And why are you listening to Colin Coward, bro? Why would you watch Colin Coward?
I disagree.
At what point does that guy have any credibility, and what proves that he knows anything about football, dude? Because he's another one of those clickbait idiots. Him, Chris Sims, Baseless is the other guy. All those idiots, all they want to do is get a rise out of people. They go by what their producers tell them what to do. Hey, this is hot on social media. This is what is getting a rise out of people. And sure enough, there he is, Bayless or Calturd or Sims is also turned in to that dude also. Those people aren't really analyzing things. They're just trying to get a rise out of people. That's all they do. I don't know. I mean, you could watch
it. Yeah, I mean, Sam Acho said on ESPN this morning that he believes Tua will have a better game than Josh Allen on Sunday. And Ryan Clark, of course, flipped out. And so I don't think – I have to be honest. I don't – in today's media world, I don't think that that's, you know, entirely unique. I think this, you know, debate culture is something that I guess, you know, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith really kind of, you know, created the template. And it can become annoying. It can become monotonous. I've been in some of those meetings where you remember I worked for that company for 11 years, one of those companies. And I've been in that meeting where they say, who wants to argue which side?
Right. Exactly.
And so, you know, I know like it's kind of like the WWE, you know?
Yeah. They tried to do that at QAM at times. One time they approached me about it and they said, hey, we want you to do this and you play the bad guy. And I'm like, no. I'm not going to do it because that's not what I believe. So I'm not doing that. And so you don't want to just take the side just for the... No, I don't do that. When I tell you something, it's because I believe in it. So no, I'm not... I don't do those kind of things. I've never done that. I'll shock you, but I'll shock you with the truth. I'll shock you and I'll tell you the Flores is going to get fired in a winning streak. And I'll shock you and I'll tell you you better fire Dale Tallon because I have the balls to say it before anybody else. But that doesn't mean that I'm doing things for just shock value of it. No, I do it because I believe in it. It might be shocking to you at the moment, but then as time goes on, you're going to go, whoa, well, I guess he was right. It wasn't really a shock. It's what he believed in. And it's the same thing with Tua. As I've told you and many other people, he's Joe Montana. He's Drew Brees. He's Fran Tarkenton. He's those same dudes, bro. And that's the problem in the NFL. That's the problem with a lot of people that cover the league and fantasy football and all this shit. We have no patience. And then we somehow morph into, we think a quarterback only is 6'5 and can throw the ball 90 yards. And that makes him a great quarterback. And that's why people freak out when I say Tua is a better quarterback than Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's a better talent, not a better quarterback, because Tua has been proving it since college that he's the better quarterback, not the better talent. I know that. Vince Young is more talented than Tua ever was. That doesn't mean he's a better quarterback. And that's the problem I think we have in our society, understanding what a quarterback is and what a freakish talent is.
What's the question?
What do you think?
What do I think about talent versus production? And
no, quarterback. No. The difference.
I don't know. I mean,
quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you look at Tom Brady, let's think about Tom Brady, who's the GOAT, right? Tom Brady is the GOAT. Mm-hmm. And it is true that Tom Brady largely succeeded and was a champion time and time again by focusing on short and intermediate passes. So
he took over the other GOAT that also did short and intermediate passes, Joe Montana.
Yeah. Now, I'm not comparing Tua to Tom Brady because Tua will have to show tremendous growth and development in lots of areas, how to read defenses, how to prepare for the opponent, how to understand everything that's coming at him, you know, and he's shown some growth and it's very encouraging. But yeah, in terms of not having to necessarily, I mean, look, Kyle Bowler, we all know Jamarcus Russell, right? We know that.
Dude, I watched Kyle Bowler on his knees at the Senior Bowl throw the ball through the goalpost.
You might want to rephrase that there, Big O.
No, seriously. No, he was on his knees in the Senior Bowl at the 50-yard line. I know what it sounds like, but he threw the ball right through the goalpost, and from that, it made him a first-rounder. And that's my point. And there's lots of people. Ryan Leaf was – Jeff George is one of the five greatest arms I have ever seen in my life. Do I want him in a key moment? No, because he's going to pee in his pants.
Now, I do think that, you know, I was wrong on Justin Herbert. I do think that this guy is going to go to a lot of Pro Bowls, and I think that this guy is going to win a lot of playoff games. And the same about Josh Allen, you know, and it's interesting that Josh says, you know, I give credit to Tua because I also dealt with skepticism and naysayers. And it's for different reasons. That is an interesting thing, right? So everyone thought that Josh Allen was very inaccurate, and he proved that you could improve your accuracy, which most quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators will tell you, you can't. You either have that or you don't.
I'm actually believing this with Josh Allen. He never had proper coaching, and he was he was in crappy environments, Wyoming. So apparently his high school also was crappy too. And so I think that he didn't get coaching until he got to the NFL. And that's why he looked like a disaster when we saw him at the Senior Bowl. When you watched him at Wyoming and you saw the lowlights, not the highlights at Wyoming. And he had such crappy talent around him and probably not great coaching. And, you know, you look at Steve Young in Tampa, but you look at him at the LA Express and you look at him with the Niners and he's a completely different player. You look at Tua now with McDaniel compared to the mess from last year, and it's two different players. Environments change everything. And I'm starting to believe that we were just fooled with Josh Allen. He was so raw still that he really never got a proper chance to really showcase his skills. And luckily for Buffalo, they saw what most people didn't. And they thought they could polish up that coal into a diamond. And brother, they did it.
You know,
I've never seen that ever again. The guy that's inaccurate never becomes accurate.
Justin Herbert is a much better player in the NFL than he was in college. Now, you and I both would like to see the University of Miami football program flourish. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're both happy to see Mario Cristobal, return. It was shocking to me that he would leave Oregon to come back home. But there are some who wonder why Justin Herbert did not have more success in college playing for Mario Cristobal.
Environment. Did you watch him this week? Okay. This week against Texas A&M. Your offense can't score. You can't get past. You can't get into the red. You're finally in the red zone, 3rd and 6 on the goal line, and you hand it off. You didn't give it to Tyler Van Dyke. Ooh. Brother,
So you're not a fan of the Cristobal Canes offense right now?
No, I'm a fan of Cristobal. I'm not a fan of being conservative. I believe in today's football, college or the NFL, if you're conservative, you die and you will not end up winning. You know, bless him, rest in peace. But part of Sperano's problem was he would settle for 3 points, and you can't settle in college and you can't settle in the NFL. For 3, you've got to do everything you can to get 7. And I thought this week he showed a little conservativeness in that decision. And I know that he was conservative at Oregon because, dude, I know Justin Herbert at Oregon for more running than passing. And that's where the things that, you know, maybe he knows that Justin isn't great in the clutch or something or whatever. I don't know, because in a very short time in his career here, he's got 4 fourth quarter pick sixes, all losses. And, you know, and when he's been put in those kind of positions in a very short career, he has not lived up to those moments. Last year, he missed the playoffs because he lost against Houston. He had a chance to cut it to 1 score and he throws a pick 6 and the game's over. So I don't know what to think of Justin Herbert. I know he's a freak talent. So was Jeff George, but is he clutch? Because Jeff George wasn't. You know what I mean?
You can't compare Jeff George to Justin Herbert. I mean,
I know I can't.
Justin Herbert has already proven to be a far more successful NFL player than Jeff George ever was.
What? What did you just say?
Justin Herbert has already proven.
Do you know Jeff George's stats? He's got stats.
My recollections, I mean, my recollections of Jeff George are not good.
Because he's a choker. Yeah.
Right.
Because he's a choker is why that's my point. That's exactly my point with Jeff George. That's why your recollection is not good, but the loser actually put up a bunch of really good stats.
Yeah. I mean, 58% completions.
You're looking it up now?
He threw 113 picks. You know, I don't know.
No, I know, but how many touchdowns did he throw?
Yeah, I mean 154. That's not a great ratio. 154 to 113. He's kind of like a pitcher who strikes a lot of guys out, but you can't stand him because he's constantly walking people.
I know.
Kind of Jameis Winston like. I mean, he threw 4,000 yards 1 year, 3,900 another year,
3,700 another year. I'm looking at it right now.
But you're right. You know.
And by the way, the year he threw the year he threw 3,900, it was 29-9, the touchdowns and interception ratio on that one. But here's the thing, for him, that's great. For him, that was fantastic.
Jeff George, 46-78 career record. Now, here's the thing. There's zero chance that Justin Herbert finishes his NFL career with a sub 500 win-loss record. No way. It's never going to happen. I would bet my left. Well, I'm telling you, I would bet my left arm that this guy is not going to finish his career in a Jeff George-like fashion. Okay. No way.
All right. I'm just saying, you know, he's already under 500.
So. I shouldn't bet my left arm. I'm already without a left arm.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm you, I would bet, because he has not proven anything clutch at any point in his career. The gene, see, you saw the clutch gene with Tua already. It's there. It's been there. You saw it at Alabama. Okay. So he's done it at the highest level in college. At the NFL level, he hasn't had half the talent that Justin Herbert has in the first 2 years. Now he has the talent. Now we're going to really compare to see how things are working out between those two guys when it comes to stats. I'm going to be really interested to see Tua's stats and Justin Herbert's stats, and then Tua's wins and losses compared to Herbert's Tua's wins and losses, because now we're more an even level playing field. And when we weren't at an even level playing field, Tua outplayed him. Wins and beat him.
Okay, so one thing Tua has done that we want to make sure to give him credit for is he has put up really good statistics in the fourth quarter early in his career. Now, it is true that this was only Tua's third come-from-behind victory-led. But, you know, I think that there's a good chance, a much better chance, that we'll see a few more of those come from behind victories this year. I think he's got at least a couple of more in him this year. And by the way, I wrote a really nice newsletter about Tua. Do you get the newsletter? The Pulse newsletter?
I saw it.
I want to make sure you read it. I want folks to sign. It's free, all right? And I basically write a column and I email it to you on Friday morning. If you like the Dolphins, why not get it? So
yes.
type in Palm Beach Post newsletters, click on Dolphins Pulse. I send you an email Friday morning.
It seems like the flip-flopping, you know, you wanted him early, but then you kind of got off his bandwagon and now you're kind of getting back on the bandwagon. So it's kind of been a peaks and valley for you on your Tua train.
Well, what I addressed in the newsletter.
I saw it.
Yeah. The back and forth with Nick Hicks to his personal trainer. And so, you know, check that out. I think it's interesting. I try to explain to Nick about how, you know, I don't know the phrasing I used, just about objectivity and about right. We all have a role, right? Nick concedes his role is to be in a Mike McDaniel-like way, a perpetual cheerleader, booster, and advocate for Tua Tagovailoa. As a sports journalist, that's not really my role.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? No. Yeah. So, and I appreciate you acknowledging that.
No, it's definitely not. Hey, listen, I'm objective and a fan, because I openly will say I root for the teams. I'm born and raised here, dude. What am I going to lie to you?
I prefer the Dolphins to win, and I prefer Tua to play well.
Of course, your job's a lot easier.
It's more fun. Everybody's happy. Yes. More people read the stories. They do. Yeah. People say, oh, you write negative stuff for clicks. Actually, that's not how it works. The most read stuff is the stuff when things are going well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no.
Right. So and I appreciate, you're not, you, know, I appreciate way, you recognizing that too.
I've known your ass for 20 years. You're not a clickbait artist. You'll say what you believe. And, you know, for a little while there, you were just wrong about Tua, thinking that he can't really get it done or arm or whatever. That's all.
I wrote 12 or 15 columns going into the draft about how it would be a terrible mistake that the Dolphins franchise would never live down if they passed on Tua. So as I wrote in the Dolphins Pulse newsletter, available for free on the internet, I actually would like to be right on that. I hope I am.
But can you answer one thing? I'll let you go with this.
Yeah.
Why did so many people have trouble understanding what I was saying the entire year last year? There's no talent. and the coaching is terrible.
Well, We did, to be fair, we did point out how bad the coaching was, how bad a decision it was by Brian Flores to go with the co-offensive coordinator disaster plan. We did point out how bad the blocking was. We did point out that the receivers were not gaining separation. So, you know, we did point that stuff out. It wasn't
as though but nobody went to the extreme of nobody went to my extreme like stop blaming Tua. It has nothing to do with him. Well, you cannot survive this environment.
That's where we disagreed. The quote that you just made, quote, nothing to do with Tua. Come on.
Yeah,
that was never fair. That was never a fair comment.
Brother,
how can you say it had nothing to do with Tua? Tua, and I mentioned this in the Dolphins Pulse newsletter, Tua himself said that his performance in his first 2 years was not satisfactory. That's Tua.
He's not going to brag about himself, dude. Come on, bro. Okay,
so that's just humility. It's not honesty.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking about Tua. He's all humility. Come on, bro.
All right, listen, if anybody out there wants to take me over to the Hijinx Sports Bar and Grill for some wings, hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on I can't drive, right? I'm not supposed to drive. All right, so I need a ride. So anybody
I think we should
Twitter.
Just make a GoFundMe page right. for you to get an Uber.
Hit me up on Twitter. Right. Shad Joe. Thanks, guys.
Shad Joe. All right, much love. Have a great weekend and feel better.
See you, buddy.
You got it. There you go. The great Joe Shad. He was right. He was wrong. And now he wants to be right again with Tua. We love it. All right. Hour number three is starting. We await Scott Pianowski. Did you send him an invite? Okay. All right. Scott Pianowski will join us. Get your fantasy questions ready. Best thing to do. I mean, it's coming up now, so you can put them on the YouTube chat board. I don't think it'll disappear that fast. But on the Welton Raom text line, it's so much easier to send your fantasy questions there. 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056. If you want to get in there, poor Fabor. Let me tell you a little bit about LinkedIn. And folks, small businesses everywhere. You need some help. You got to find the right people to build your business. LinkedIn is there for you. LinkedIn Jobs makes it nice and easy to find people you want to talk to faster and for free. We all like free, right? If it's free, I'll take three. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs, and you can reach a network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then you add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions, making it easy to focus on candidates with the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. This is why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs the number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs can help you find the candidates you want to talk to and faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your jobs for free at linkedin.com/big O. That's linkedin.com/big O to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Hour number three is next.